23, Matthew's 23, 35 through 39. Matthew's 23, 35 through 39. And it read, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Bereshit, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon these generations. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophet and stoned them with or sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered their chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the doers of his word.
Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. You may be seated. Well, good evening. It's good for us to be here. I want to talk to you tonight just briefly about good neighbor. There's something that just came to my mind about a good neighbor. Let's take a look at Leviticus chapter 19 and start with verse number 16. Leviticus 19, starting in verse number 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You know, when you think about a neighbor, a lot of people think about a whole lot of things when it comes to being neighbors. But I remember as a child growing up, a neighbor was for me someone who you can run across the street for and ask to get a little sugar, and they give you some sugar. Or someone else might not have butter at all, and they'll come in and they'll give you a little bit of butter. I know y'all remember that. There were times like that when you knew who your neighbor was and you appreciated the fact that they were your neighbors. There were times even before me, and even they trickled down into my time, but they started to peter off just a little bit, where a neighbor would come in and help another neighbor build their house so they have a place for their family to stay. And you counted them as a neighbor. When we look into the Bible and we look at the scripture from Matthew chapter 22, and the Bible says to us from those scriptures, Matthew chapter 22 and starting verse number 35, the Bible says these words. But when the Pharisees had heard, they had put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And I find that a lot of people look at God's commandments and they like to rank them. Well, you know, I'm doing this, so I've got to be on good standards with God. But this guy in this scene, you find, is a lawyer. And he knows the law already. Jesus says, "One of these two commandments hang in all the law and the prophets." Lawyers sometimes, they like to be complete and direct in the things that they say if they're good lawyers. But the Bible says here that he was questioning Jesus so that he might tempt him. You know, one thing that you'll find with a lot of people is that they'll come to you and they'll ask you something that they already know. You don't really know whether they want to confirm whether they know it or not, or whether they're just being a little bit sarcastic. But the Bible says that he already knew what it was that he was asking Jesus, but he was asking Jesus, the master teacher who taught the law, who orchestrated the law, who created the law, what was the law? What was his purpose for doing that? The Bible says, simply and plain, that he was tempting Jesus. See, a lot of people tempt us that way as well. A lot of people come to you with knowledge they already have, and they want to, for whatever reason, they want you to confirm it, or they want you to know that they know it so they could be better or feel better than what they think they are. They want you to build them up. Oh, he knows that scripture. Oh, he knows that one. Oh, he knows about this. He knows about that. The Bible says that this man was a lawyer, and he was tempting Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, you do know the law, but you just don't do it. I need you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second thing. But he failed to realize that if he did the first thing, that loving his neighbor would be automatic. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first thing. I wonder sometimes if people realize the love that God has lavished upon us, and that love that God has given to us should be reciprocated right back to God. We love God and we worship and praise and honor God, but in order to reciprocate the love back to God that God has given us, we have got to have action in our lives with that. It's got to be reciprocated. There was another story that was told by the Christ. And that story we find in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. We're talking about reciprocating love that comes from God. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37 says these words. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' Which one was his neighbor?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go, and you do the same thing." There are too many people who feel like their neighbor is their neighbor only because of proximity. Proximity. You know, Jesus says that he's our neighbor and our friend. And is he our neighbor and our friend because of proximity? Proximity? You know, sometimes people look at this story in Luke 10 and they miss the whole point of what Jesus is trying to say. You find a preacher in here that walks on the other side of the street. He doesn't even care about the man that's thrown in the ditch, beaten and wounded. And there's a Samaritan who doesn't even get along with the man that's half dead in the ditch because of their upbringing, because of their culture. Their culture doesn't cross. But the point Jesus is trying to make when he says, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself, he's trying to say that the love of God, if you love God with all that you have first, that love is going to transcend age. It's going to transcend color. It's going to transcend all those prejudices that you might have. He's calling everybody that God ever made your neighbor. Your neighbor. And it's our duty, first of all, to love God and just love those who we can walk across the street and get a little bit of sugar from when we run out of sugar. Or maybe get a little butter every now and then because we just ran out of butter and we don't feel like going to the store. Sometimes we miss the whole point about who God is. In the book of Genesis and Cain and Abel, God says, where is your brother? He asked the age-old question, well, who in the world is my brother? Well, he only had one. So it shouldn't have been hard for him to decipher who his brother was. He only had one. And for those of us who don't know who our brothers are, our sisters are, we ought to try to get with it because we only have one as well. We only have one body. And everybody that's in that one body, we become one in Christ Jesus. We only have one. Only have one. Jesus said in that story, I don't want you to call no man good because no man is good. And that's why you have to show mercy on them and allow them to show mercy on you, because it's my mercy that I showed on you because you were not good. God made man at the beginning in his own image and his likeness. And the Bible says, God said everything that he made was good. At one time, man was good. It was good. It was easy to love him, easy to care for him, easy for him to be your neighbor because he was good and you were good as well. But Satan has a way of taking us out of the element that we need to be in. He has a way of bringing to us things that we should not think about or we dare not even delve into. He's not your neighbor. For something small and foolish, he cut a little bit of your grass while he was cutting his. And you know you don't like nobody cutting your grass. So you need to go tell him about that. I know he lives in close proximity to you, but he cut a line of your grass. What are you going to do about that? And we give in to Satan, and we go knock on that man's door and says, listen, I appreciate you keeping your yard nice and neat, but don't be cutting my grass. You know, we're trying to go to heaven, and love is the only thing that's going to be eternal. It's eternal now. It's going to be eternal then. God is eternal as well. We know the scriptures. We know the rules. But we want to bend the rules and skirt the rules to suit our own needs. Oh, we love God. Oh, we do. We love God with all that we have, but just let a neighbor walk by. We practice the first law. The second law, we throw it right out the window. And I want you to understand that not only is someone that's walking beside you that might need help, your neighbor, somebody that fell in a ditch, I want you to understand that your wife is your, amen, she's your neighbor. I want you to understand that your husband is your neighbor, your children, your neighbors. The Samaritan says, listen, I want you to take care of him. And whatsoever he needs, if you have to spend more on him when I come again, I'm going to repay you. We see Jesus in this parable, and Jesus says, I'm leaving on this cloud in Acts chapter 1. He says, but I'm coming back again, and whatever it is that you have to do, do it, and I'm coming, and I'm going to repay everyone for it. But Lord, you know, I fed the naked, and I gave food to the hungry. When you were thirsty, I gave you water. He says, listen, you didn't do anything for me because you didn't do it to the least of them. A neighbor is not just someone who's in close proximity to you, even though Webster, he defines it as such. Jesus says it's about mercy. It's about love. And if we don't understand who God is, we can know all of the scriptures in the world. The lawyer knew. He knew the law, but he wanted Jesus to boost him up, to make him somebody who he wasn't. Let me just confirm that I know the law. Let me just ask this master teacher if he knows it. He's supposed to be the teacher, right? Why do we question God on all things in our lives? Why do we do that? We used to do it to our parents, and we used to get punished for that then. Because he used to tell you, you already know what's good. You knew what to do, but you didn't do it, and you got punished. But we don't think that God is going to punish us. You know what James says? For those that know it to do good and do it not, to him, it's sin. It's sin. And it's egregious sin because we fail to do those things for somebody else because we feel like we've already gotten there. And we check those lists, and we come to church, and we sit in the building, and we go out, and we tell people that we love God, but the same people we tell that we love God, we won't lift a finger to help them. He said the same thing to the scribes and Pharisees who was questioning him. He says, you know, they'll tell you all these things you have to do, but they're saying they do not. They just don't do it because they're not good neighbors. And we have to, from time to time, ask ourselves the question, are we good neighbors? Are we really a neighbor at all? Do we follow God's law? Do we love him with all our heart? Do we love God with all our soul and with all our mind? What is your mind on right now? You know, a lot of people come to services. Let me just say this, it don't cost you nothing. And they're passing notes, and they're texting, they're looking on their phones, and God is here present in front of us, and we're here for to worship God in spirit and truth, but we love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I can understand why you don't love your neighbor, because you don't love God enough to even give him the attention that he's due, to give him the glory and the praise that he's due when he calls you in as an assembled body to do just that. I got to ask you this question. Do you hate God? Because you're not doing anything for your neighbor. He says, if you don't love me, you will not love your neighbor at all. It goes hand in hand. He says, it's the second thing. Have we gotten to the second place yet? Have we gotten there yet? Do we understand what it is to be a neighbor? Do we understand what it is to love God with all that we have? Soul, heart, and mind. We better get to understand it because it's the first thing that he says we ought to do. There's a lot of people out there in the world right now, church. Their souls are crying out for help. They're falling in the ditch. And a lot of people, a lot of God's people are walking right by them and just looking at them. And they walk by him and look at him and they come straight to church. And it's a shame how some people would think that. They'd walk by somebody that's having a problem or a crisis and won't even ask them if they can help them. They pass by somebody on the street who has a flat tire on their way to church and won't stop and help them with that flat tire. I got to get to church. I got to get there. I can't help you with your flat tire. Because they don't understand what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to say it's all about love and mercy. And if we can't have mercy on somebody, God is not going to have mercy on us. We've got to understand what it is to be a neighbor. I want you to understand that sometimes I run out of sugar at the house. Marrero is too far for me to come. Amen. Terrytown, too far. I want you to know Algiers is too far for me to come when I run out of sugar. Sometimes I come to services and I'm real weak because the world has beat me up all week long. And we come in and we need the strength of the saints. And sometimes the saints don't have anything to give you at all. They just walk right by you and leave you in the ditch. Sit in their pew. They won't even look at you. But you love God, don't you? Sure you do. Sure you do. What we have to do more than anything else in our lives is do better. And understand what Jesus calls us to. Because he said these two commandments hang on all the law and all the prophets. He quoted from Leviticus 19. That's where it comes from. It's been the law a long time. It's still the law today. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the second part of that. Do you even love yourself? Or do you know what it means to even love yourself? Love yourself enough. Know that God created us in his own image and his likeness. We used to be good. But we're not good anymore because we tainted with sin. And the darkness that lives inside of us, it keeps us from showing people our light. And if they can't see our light, you know, they can't travel their journey to get where God has called them to be. I'll give you a good example of that. And it struck my mind today as we were driving, you know, a couple of sisters were following us, and there's a rear fog light on the car, and I put the rear fog light on, and it was raining real heavy, and it was able to see where I was and follow me because the rear fog light was on. When the rear fog light went off, you know what happened? We looked like everybody else in the traffic. Everybody else. They couldn't tell who I was or anybody else was because we looked the exact same way. I want to tell you, if you're loving God as you ought to love God, your light's going to be on. Your rear fog light and your front fog light is going to be on. But when your light isn't on, we look like everybody else. And what good is that doing us? Let your light so shine before men that they might see, and glorify God as a result of that. It's a wonderful thing to understand the rule for our life and who God is and who God has called each and every one of us to be. The question is, which commandment are you not going to obey? And why are you only obeying one in your own heart and mind? Because in actuality, if you're not obeying all of God's word, all of his law, you're not obeying any. So that one is a moot point as well. In verse number 41 of Matthew 22, there's another question that arises. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say, "He is the son of David." He says, "How then does David's spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand, I will make them my enemies, thine enemies my footstool.' If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man, the Bible says, was able to answer him a word. Neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. We got to get to a point in our lives when we stop questioning God. We've got to get to a day in our lives when henceforth we stop questioning God and just do the things that God has called us to do. He says, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind." That's the first and greatest commandment. He says, and the second one is this: love your neighbor as yourself. whether he's in the ditch, whether he's in close proximity to your house, whether you're borrowing sugar or butter, whatever it might be, it's about love and mercy. It's about love and mercy. It's about going to heaven. I wonder sometimes in my own heart and mind if I love God the way that God has called me to love him. We do all fall short. We sin, fall short of God's glory. And we miss all the wonderful blessings that God has for us. But if you believe that God is who he said he is, then our faith and our hope is in Christ. God has given us people. And that's all we have are people to deal with. And we can't walk by people and expect that we're serving God. We can't just stare at people and expect that we're serving God. We can't just say, you know what, how you doing, and keep on walking and expect to know that we're serving God. Some people really don't want to know, but they want other people to know. But, you know, I asked him how he was doing. He just didn't tell me. No, you kept walking. Because did you really want to know? I tell you something that's interesting. God wants to know how you're doing. And that's why his word is so prevalent in our lives even today. But we've got to take stock in it. We've got to buy into God's word so that we can be a recipient of all that love, of all that mercy. And as a recipient of that, we can reciprocate it right back to someone else who needs it just like you. Just like you. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So what is a good neighbor? Can you define it? Our God is good, and he calls us to his word. He says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and this is his commandment, another commandment. 1 John 3:23. That we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says now. And love one another. He didn't say love somebody else or who you think you might want to love. He says believe that Jesus is the Christ and love one another, because that's the commandment that he gave us, all of us. We got to believe that. We got to repent of our sins. Everybody has learned the laws of God, and they'll tell you that they have. And they want to impress you by quoting a few scriptures so that you can confirm that for them. But this is what Jesus said about repentance in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He says, but go and learn what it means that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Go what it means and learn what it means to just have mercy on somebody. Don't always be calling for mercy for yourself. He says, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. We've got to confess Christ, church. If we claim to be without sin, 1 John 1:8 and 9, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Know ye not, Romans 6:3, that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The old man is crucified, church. We've been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. We become a new man by the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a hand that took punishment, a head that took punishment, a body that took punishment and died. But he's the resurrected Christ, and he wants to resurrect you as well. But you've got to understand two things, the love and the mercy of God. And apply it in your life and stop doing it the way you want to do it. If we can help you today to be a good neighbor, which comes, we stand and sing God's invitation song.
In the light of